This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
The Ides of March are upon us. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you, bringing you the events, the births, the deaths, and the things that affect the world we live in the most that all occurred on this date in history.
Don't get yourself in a lather.
I'm piped up today. You know why? I got a 10-hour sleep. Three cups of coffee.
We're good to go. You do seem to have those synapses firing.
Listen to me enjoy this cup of coffee.
All right. Well, you enjoy while I go over some of the things from yesterday that need
clarification. We strive for exactitude. So what do you have for us?
Barbara Bain is alive.
She's 85 years old
and
still kicking.
Thriving.
Yes.
Yes. The imperial unit of weight we were discussing the other day, yesterday.
Yeah, troy ounce.
The troy ounce. Actually, it's 31.1034768 grams. So there you go. Equal to 1.0971 ounces. That's what they measure.
Huh.
I was thinking when I said 200 milligrams, that's a carat.
That's a carat
of
gold.
Right. Well, it's a carat of anything,
I suppose. Of anything? Even a diamond?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if that's the same thing. Well, I guess it is. Carats. C-A-R-A-T.
Yeah.
200 milligrams.
Okay.
John Pemberton was the inventor
of
Coca-Cola. Yes, go ahead.
Why do I only hear carats in gold and diamonds? I don't ever hear carats referred to in silver or other precious metals as much.
I don't know. Probably.
I don't know. Like, I don't hear 16
carat
silver.
I just told you what it is. I'm not explaining why it's used.
Huh.
Edward Winter was Colonel Flagg.
Yes.
We had the right name there. I think we said Ed Wood.
You said Ed Wood.
Someone else. Edward Wood.
Edward Wood.
Someone completely
different. Oh, Colonel Flagg. You couldn't watch him leave.
Colonel Flagg never wore a woman's sweater.
Kind of like you. You can never really see Armand leave. Suddenly he's there, and then suddenly he's gone.
Yeah, he watched hours of Three Stooges. Every time he laughed, he'd hit himself with a cattle prod. Edward Wood. Yeah, Edward Winter.
Yep.
He was actually also in a really horrible movie.
Porky's
2.
Oh,
remember that?
Brutal. Brutal.
That was one of the most embarrassingly bad
scenes.
It's
horrible. It's up there with Caddyshack 2 for just monstrosities.
I think Caddyshack 2 was better, actually. It actually had some redeeming qualities.
Some. Had Robert Stack in it.
Yes.
You just strike it from the record. All right. Is that possible?
Well,
can you go to the Hollywood archives and just, this never happened?
No, you can't do that.
Damn it.
All right. Now you may proceed with today's business.
Well, what happened on
March
the 15th? Here we go. Of course, the stabbing on the steps.
We'll get to that during deaths, I assume.
We can, but I'd like to lead with it.
Well,
I think it's the big one.
You lead and I'll parry. All right.
So,
well, whatever.
Marcus Junius Brutus. Gaius Cassius Longinus.
Gaius? Yeah, Gaius.
And Decimus Junius Brutus. And several other Roman.
He was actually the unkindest cut of
all. Was Decimus.
Mm-hmm.
Did he stab him 10 times?
Oh, no. That's funny.
Thank you.
Actually, only one of the stabs. How many times would he stab?
I don't know.
I believe it was 26 times. I don't know. I've never written it down. I wasn't anticipating doing it. 23 times. As we know, David Riccio was stabbed 56 times.
Right.
And we don't know how many times Abigail Folger and they were stabbed.
So, I don't think it's
anywhere near the record.
Right. Old Julius Caesar, the dictator.
Well, apparently these guys were not these conspirators. First of all, you have to remember, they're not assassins. So they really fucked this up. You know,
oh, they totally
they stabbed
did.
23 times. Only one was a fatal blow. For the second one, apparently, was only the fatal stab.
And then everyone,
the rest of the ones were
as senators do,
painful, but
they had to get in so they could say, "Oh, I stabbed him as well."
But our old friend Casca was the first one to which, Julius Caesar. This is violence. Now, you couldn't get anything past old Julius Caesar. He knew violence.
He was one to recognize it when it came his
way. If I got stabbed, I'd say, This is a compliment.
Well, you'd probably, first of all, you'd be like, I'm stab worthy.
He knew violence. Yeah, he knew violence when he saw it.
Now, who does Julius turn to and say?
Et tu, Brute?
Yes. Which of?
Then fall Caesar, which is actually a macaroni. Did you know that? That's a macaronian statement.
No. What? First of all, I don't know what
it is. First of all, it's from Shakespeare. It's from Julius Caesar, of course. He probably didn't say
probably
it.
Didn't
but
say
it's, it. It's not plays well, but it's. Two, it's one statement, two languages.
Et tu, Brute? What's
then fall Caesar.
Okay.
That's the line. And then he dies. Of course, he comes back as a ghost.
Sure.
So
who doesn't?
Not quite, well.
Hamlet.
Well, can you name the ghosts? Okay, what other plays have ghosts?
Of Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Well, Hamlet is the
Hamlet's
obvious
father. Yeah.
Othello does not. No. One of the Henry V does.
There's no ghost in Henry V.
There
is a ghost in Macbeth, the ghost of Banquo, Banquo's ghost, comes to the banquet.
Yep.
And I believe, what's the other? Richard III has a ghost.
Oh, Richard III. So which of...
Has several ghosts, actually.
You know, when he says, famous line, what is it?
Unkindest cut of all.
Which of the Brutus is he saying that to?
Not Decimus.
He's saying that to Marcus Junius?
Marcus Junius Brutus. Decimus was his best friend. That's why I'm saying... That was really the unkindest cut of all, because Decimus was like a really good friend of his. And but in the play, it's the other Brutus.
So see how the peer pressure gets you?
Well.
I mean, once one senator starts stabbing, they all.
Well, yeah. There were like 40 of them jumped his ass. Now, he was on his way to the Senate. Usually, now, Caesar's not stupid. He's got bodyguards.
Yeah, what happened to them?
Well, they can't go in the Senate, see? That's why these guys were smart. Yeah, they have to stay out of the Senate, and they got him. Well, they got him in the Temple of Pompey on the way to the Senate. And Calpurnia, his wife, and as depicted in the play and the film, played by, who's Calpurnia? I think it was Greer Garson.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And Louis Calhern was Julius Caesar.
Okay.
And we already know Brutus was James Mason. Yep. Cassius was John Gielgud.
Oh.
And, of course,
Marlon Brando
was Mark Antony. I don't remember who played Lepidus, but
it seemed like kind of an unfit Mark Antony.
Yeah, he was great, though. I thought he was very good. Yeah. But, you know, we all know Lepidus, you know, a slight, how does it go? Slight unmerited man, fit only to be sent on errands.
Which
not
is
unlike Tony Hubert.
Well, no, I don't.
I'm going to send you on some
I don't
errands.
Go on errands.
You're fetch my coffee, boy.
You're a grocery clerk sent to collect the bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Quoting the great Colonel Kurtz.
No, wait a minute. Now, that's not what he said, right?
You're an errand boy sent by grocery clerks
to collect a bill.
That's right.
A
bug just flew in my mouth. That's one
that
of the great outtakes.
They kept that stuff.
Should have been an outtake, but they
kept it. He was so fat, they had to, you know, that's why they had him in the dark all the time. Because, you know, when he showed up for that movie,
Coppola
looked at me. Because Kurt's supposed to be this strong, you know, svelte guy.
He's supposed to be an Adonis type guy.
Yeah, well, he's like, he went to the Ranger school at 39 or something. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando. He couldn't go to Boy Scout school at that time. And
we made a great segue from Julius Caesar to Apocalypse Now.
Well, Brando, yes.
But do you know, in one of the early scenes in that movie, Apocalypse Now, very famous actor kind of makes his screen debut.
Ooh, I don't know who that would be.
He's in it for a couple seconds, but it's clear as day it's him. And he has a speaking part.
I think I've seen this. Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
But I don't know. That's not his. Because he was in American Graffiti.
Right. I said kind of his.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Also because.
Yeah, I think he has a line or two.
He has a line or two.
Yeah.
I liked him in American Graffiti. He and Mackenzie.
I was just watching that.
He and Mackenzie Phillips.
I took an acting class with Candy Clark.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, anyway, we got some. What else? I also looked into why they didn't kill Mark Antony.
Yeah,
apparently.
Why not? Why did Mark Antony get spared by Cassius?
Okay, now here's their logic. I don't know if you can deem this, you know. Well, Cicero wanted to kill him, which is why, you know, once Antony got power, Cicero was killed. But Cicero said, yeah, kill the son of a bitch. But this logic was, this is a tyrannicide. Okay, we're going to kill a tyrant.
Yes.
If we kill Antony too, it looks like a coup d'etat. And they didn't want that.
I kind of like his thinking.
Well, you weren't at Philippi.
No, I wasn't. But
that didn't work out, did it?
But tyrannicide is one thing. You can get tyrannicide over the people. That's sellable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're just killing him because he's a tyrant. We're not killing all his friends.
Exactly. Coup d'etats are tricky to sell, even in the best of circumstances.
Right. And they're calling themselves liberators, so.
Sure. Well, so have many other people who have gone into other places.
Yeah, well.
Be welcome.
We're liberators, too.
Yeah, we liberate knowledge.
We're iconoclasts.
Let's move ahead. 1493, Columbus returns to Spain. Hell of a round
good
trip.
For him, yeah, okay.
Still
didn't know where the hell he'd
still
been.
Still didn't know where the hell he'd been, what the hell he'd done.
Yeah.
Or what havoc he had wreaked upon the native population.
Or who he was. I guess he knew it. I guess he didn't know a manatee yet. He saw it, but he knew what it was.
Right. 1783, George Washington makes...
The Newburgh...
The Newburgh.
You included
the Newburgh? Yeah, I did, because it's you don't hear much about Washington...
I've heard this. I've read about this.
...being emotional. Washington to us, George Washington, is portrayed quite stoically.
But until his men wanted to get paid.
Yeah.
And then that brought tears to his eyes.
As it does a lot of people.
Yeah. Me too.
Every time
you write a paycheck, believe me,
it will bring a tear.
You'll have pangs of melancholy. It'll be very lugubrious.
In an emotional speech in Newburgh, New York, he asked his officers, please, I implore you. I beg of you. I beseech you.
Yeah.
He probably said some of those
words.
Well, you
know, really did it. He put his glasses on. He looked old.
Oh, see.
They kind of looked at him and said, man, this guy is.
Then you knew the general was serious.
He kind of played the pitiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've read about this.
Because even in the crowd, they're saying, oh, boy.
Yeah, screw him. I want my money.
Uh-oh, he put the glasses on. This is bad news.
Even then, they're promising pensions for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. I think they're getting half their pay or something.
Oh, yeah. It was huge.
Well, so this is the first lump sum offer.
Yeah.
They said, why don't you take it all at once? We'll take 70% off or whatever, like a lottery winner.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll discount it forward.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So none of these things are new. There's nothing new under the sun.
No, nothing. Anyway, he's imploring.
They were mollified.
He's beseeching. Don't support this Newburgh conspiracy. And
he's supplicating.
He supplicates himself in front of the officers, and it's successful. Yes. And
did he prostrate himself?
I don't think George would ever prostrate himself.
Yeah, not prostate, prostrate.
Well, he probably needed a... What did the old guys do about the prostate? Ugh. They just suffer?
They usually didn't live long enough to get the BHP, but they just peed very slowly and silently.
Yeah, well... Yeah, oh, boy.
Like pneumonia, silent pee.
Oh, 1819, we have a French physicist by the name of Augustin Fresnel. Well, he wins this little contest at the Académie des Sciences. How do you say sciences?
Académie des Sciences.
Sciences? Anyway, this gentleman proves that light behaves like a wave.
That's not true. We know that.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we have somebody else. Today that you omitted. I won't forgive you for it either.
That's
but anyway,
fine.
Under this,
the Fresnel integrals.
They
are still used to calculate wave patterns, and they silence the skeptics who would back the particle theory of Isaac Newton.
Well, of course, now we know it acts as both a particle and a wave. But
so half credit.
But you know, they still use these integrals. I think they're what are they called? But anyway, use them off ramps and stuff of all things. Because these things look like, if you look at these integrals, they describe these curves.
Yes.
These curves, and that's
they look like off ramps?
Yeah. If you look at them, from these integrals.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. 1820, Maine, state number 23. Congratulations, Maine. I hear it's beautiful. My mom just went. I've never been. You?
No, I've never been to Maine.
Say it's
if
gorgeous.
I'm going to go, I'm going to fall when the leaves are
exactly.
turning.
Exactly. And 1875, the United States officially gets its first cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church. That is the Archbishop of New York, John McCloskey. And Armand, in 1892.
More useless information.
Oh, hold on.
Who cares?
Let's have a listen.
What the hell are they saying?
They're singing their club song.
I know. I don't understand a word of it.
The 1964 hit by Jerry and the Pacemakers.
What is it? Ferry Across the Mersey?
You'll Never Walk Alone.
Oh.
I might be wrong. Who wrote You Never Walk
Alone? I don't know. All right. Well.
Yeah, Jerry and the Pacemakers.
All right, good.
Oh, wait for the chorus. Come on. It's emotional when you're there.
Not as emotional as the Newburgh speech.
Here it comes, Armand.
stop singing and get to the hooliganism, will you?
Aren't they? That's the cop in. That's the cop in. Named for the spy and cop.
All right. Ever end? It's longer than our national anthem.
I'm just enjoying.
Okay. Yeah, please. Have mercy.
Now listen, the whole crowd goes up a note.
All right.
Now the Manchester fans have a different
version. Hitting each other
and
trampling them.
They sing, sign on, get on the dole, and you'll never have a job. To the Liverpool fan.
Okay, all right. That's a good one.
Because Liverpool
tend to agree with
tends
that.
To be a little bit
depressed. Liverpudlians.
The Pudlians tend to be a little bit depressed. 1906, Rolls-Royce is incorporated.
Right,
what a
in this
beautiful company.
Anglophile.
Great. I mean, the Rolls-Royce engine.
Didn't we look at that? What was that? Damn it, I forgot already. But didn't we look up what's the name of the woman, lady of something on the hood?
Oh, yeah.
Hood?
Yeah, the on the Rolls-Royce?
Yeah.
It's
I think
it's Winged Victory.
Is that what it was? I thought it was something different. The Rolls-Royce slogan.
Yep. The hood ornament.
Do you know what the
Yeah, here it is. Here it is. Spirit of
Victory?
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Damn it. Got to write that down.
Yeah, we do. Because
Spirit of Ecstasy. I knew it was something.
Spirit of Ecstasy.
Yeah, Spirit of Ecstasy. Do you know what the first logo was?
I do not. No.
Bass Ale, the red triangle.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
All right. Well, they have a distinctive RR inside the inside the rectangle logo.
Well, I guess, of course.
And before we get to birthdays, two more. The United States sends 4,800 troops
Is
on this
all?
Date to fight in the U.S.-Mexico border war and pursue Pancho Villa.
Yeah.
That's done by Armand's
15
good friend,
guys or whatever that were with him.
Woodrow Wilson. Yeah. All happened on March the 15th.
Yeah, what a great leader. What a
just this was a little trial run.
Let's send 5,000 guys
for the United
there,
States
yeah.
Expeditionary Forces. That would
blackjack Pershing.
This
Pershing
is
do
this
something.
Is a trial run for the Doughboys. That's what this was.
Get used to it.
And but can you? I tell you what, though.
I don't know how this acclimates you to trench warfare at all.
No,
I mean,
it's running across the plains on horseback.
Yeah.
The exact opposite.
Maybe 50 guys
of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
In Western
this
Europe,
is mobile war as opposed to the static.
Think of all
war,
the history from 1914 to about 1919. I mean, every day something was happening. 1917.
Well, you have an idiot as a president.
March 15th. Tsar Nicholas II, he abdicates the Russian throne.
It's about time.
It ends 304-year run for the Romanovs. Now, that's a good run.
That's not bad.
The House of Romanov had a good run.
Yeah. Broadway plays don't get it. Even Cats didn't run that
long. No. Not 304 years.
No.
No, sir. All right. Who's born today?
Okay.
March the 15th. 1444, Francesco Gonzaga.
Is this the same guy we talked about the other day?
Yeah, he's having a good week.
I forgot. What was the name of their team? Didn't we look that up?
Yeah, Gonzaga. They're number one in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but damn, we just looked that up the other day. What's their mascot?
Oh, they're up there in Washington. It's probably the
Walla Walla
Panthers or something like that.
I'll look that up sometime.
Nickname, Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Yeah, they're number one. Huh?
They're number one. Andrew Jackson, born on this day.
Now, this is a guy.
There's
I a admire man. This guy. I love this guy.
Try American Lion by Meacham.
Book about
by
him,
John
it wasn't
Meacham.
That one. It was a long time ago. I read
that would be our one recommendation for you to go to, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com.
Old Hickory.
Click that Amazon banner. And there's a lot out there on Old Hickory. You can find a lot of books on Andrew
Jackson.
You
know who was Young Hickory?
No.
Polk.
Oh, Polk was Young Hickory?
Yep.
I did not know that.
5 to 100 duels this guy fought. He had a bullet in his chest. Actually, had two bullets, apparently. You know, he killed Charles Dickinson. Not Dickens, Charles Dickinson in a duel.
Well, thank God.
Dickinson called him a poltroon and a coward. And you don't
not
do that.
You can't call
okay,
someone
buddy.
A poltroon.
Blew him
not,
away.
There's limits.
Yep. But, you know, actually he won 3 elections in a row, although the corrupt bargain, he didn't
right.
get
Right, he didn't get it.
He won that one.
Even though Quincy Adams, who
he despised,
quote-unquote, lost to, never had a majority
in
the popular vote,
in
the electoral vote, and in the House of Representatives.
JQ,
never got to
Crawford,
50%.
And the other guy, who was it, Clay? They all got together, and they corrupt bargain. They screwed him bad. He was not one to forgive, not like Tilden, our friend Tilden, but...
First assassination attempt, Richard Lawrence tried to kill him.
Yep.
Both his pistols misfired.
And then Andrew got pissed.
Yeah, hit him
then
with his cane.
Old Hickory
him
got
a good
pissed.
Caning. But the odds against that, apparently, because both of them were supposedly in good working order, 125,000 to one. So this guy was blessed. But what I love about him is now
that he killed a lot of Cherokee Indians.
No. He adopted two. You know that. He had two adopted sons.
I understand.
Indians.
Just saying, you walk people from Georgia to Oklahoma.
He's against the Bank of the United States.
Yes, he was.
Second Bank of the United States.
Not a fan of central banking.
Yeah, right. Nicholas Biddle, the president of the bank, who thought, he thought he was like a pope or one of the justices, thought it's forever. Sorry. The charter expires, and we're going to let it expire. This is in the good old days when federal government agencies, etc., expired.
Yeah.
And just went away. So he didn't fund it. But Nicholas Biddle fought the bank war. They actually called it the war. Said, okay, I'm going to. Andrew Jackson was depositing federal funds in state banks. He had three or four pet banks he liked the best.
Sure.
Well, Biddle started calling in loans and decided he's going to ruin the economy, basically.
Yeah.
Contracture of the loans.
Right.
Et cetera, wasn't going to give any out, and then calling in the loans these banks owed him and everything. Mm-hmm. So they started the bank war. Didn't work out. In fact, it just made Jackson's point. This bank is too damn powerful. And, like as usual, it makes the rich richer. It makes congressmen beholden to it, which it did. It had foreign influence, which it did. All these things, which we all know, are the big arguments against the Federal Reserve, which came along in 1913.
Right.
But we use that anyway.
Yep.
Okay. So let's make the rich richer and devalue our currency, What is it? Well, dollar's worth like 3 cents compared to what it was in 1913. Anyway, Andrew Jackson fought the good fight.
All right.
With
happy
two bullets
birthday.
In him.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
And his home.
I've been there.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's lovely.
Tell the fans what it's called.
It's the Hermitage, and
Tennessee.
In Lebanon, Tennessee. It's a wonderful ground and garden. The house is unique. In fact, it's one of the houses. They have this banister in the house going up the steps where they insist that you put your hand on it and walk up it, not for safety reasons, but because the oil from your hand helps polish that type of wood.
Oh.
The house is large.
You have an itching palm. Who's that?
I don't know.
Cassius.
Damn it.
You've been known to have an itching palm.
Yeah, that could mean a lot of things.
Yeah.
The house is largely in the same state as it was.
They didn't move it from Tennessee, did they?
No, but sometimes houses
mean same state, not same state of the union.
Houses are completely rebuilt. If you go, I went to the, I've been in the White House. I've been in the Lincoln bedroom. Yeah, no, you haven't.
All right, we went over this.
No,
with
you
your refurbished
right.
World
yeah.
War
yeah.
planes
yeah.
or whatever
once,
the hell you're
once
talking
it's,
about.
Once it's
all
once
right.
it's
you're
been
a purist.
Yeah, it's only original once, and it's largely original. And the gardens at the Hermitage are very very nice. It's a great little. Sort of half-day stop if you're on
yeah,
the,
but the
eastern
question
side
is,
of Nashville.
Was he born in South or North Carolina? They're still fighting
I don't
that.
Know. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, here again, this guy's is the first American president. Wasn't born to some rich family.
No, he's a man
a
of the people.
Yeah.
He's a man of the people.
Okay.
And, he is a true Southerner as well. Because I have a hard time with the Virginians
Irish
or true
descent.
Southerners.
I think his parents were born in Ireland.
Because Virginians were aristocratic.
Well, yeah.
So I don't. I don't consider the Virginia plantation owners living along the Potomac to be true Southerners. That doesn't totally ring true.
Matter of conjecture there. All right. As long as they're against the Bank of the United States, they're okay.
All right. Happy birthday to this next guy. And here's how I knew him. You probably know more, but here's how I knew him.
Oh yeah. Okay, we get
like
it.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
All right, you want to tell us who he is?
He will.
Oh.
This is MacDonald Carey, and these are the days of our lives.
Can I just say, what the hell?
Nice intro. They don't have those anymore.
I'm MacDonald Carey. He's not even in it.
He's bigger than Days of Our Lives.
He's not. What the hell? How much did he get paid for that gig?
All right. So what? Okay. What are you complaining about?
No, I'm happy for him.
He got what they paid him because that's what he deserved.
Yeah. I'm happy for him.
But he produced. Okay.
Hell of a gig. 1920s. The thing is, you only had to do it once.
Yeah.
And then they play it back every day.
And you get your royalties.
You get your name out there every day in a nice little royalty check.
That's
what kind
of
inside
way,
job
brother.
Is this?
You sound jealous.
I'd love to have a voiceover gig like that.
Well, I'd love to have a voice like that. You had a great voice.
Oh, you got a good enough voice.
No, not like Ronald Coleman.
You work 30 minutes a day, and then they give
it's
you
a check. 25. What do you mean? It's 45 minutes a day.
No, that's true. Norm Van Brocklin, born in 1926, great quarterback, L.A. Rams.
Yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, happy birthday, notorious RBG.
Don't wake her up. You know, come on. She's going to get excited and drop dead.
No. Look, I have people keeping an eye on Ruth.
Yeah.
I have people.
Oh, I'll bet.
They text me. Her pulse is good. Blood pressure's fine.
Yeah, right. Weekend at SCOTUS. Right.
but
wake up, Ruth. Time to go to the toy.
Armand Kachigian's Weekend at SCOTUS, a lineup media production, will be coming
to
soon.
To a theater near you.
will be coming soon.
I don't think Ruth will be alive to see
no,
it.
No, she won't.
She's only 84.
This will be a winner.
Man, I thought this
will
like
be a winner.
98.
1935, Judd Hirsch born.
He's old, too.
He is. Did you like him in Taxi?
Yeah, I like him in all this stuff. I liked him in Last Gypsy.
Last Gypsy. Whoa.
I met the Last Gypsy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's another story entirely.
Sorry, excuse me.
He played the Last Gypsy's dad, so he was the penultimate gypsy.
The penultimate gypsy.
Yeah.
1935, Jimmy Swaggart. Whoa.
Yeah.
He's right up there with L. Ron Hubbard.
What did he do? He did it all. Yeah, but what is did he actually catch him, or he's the one that sinned in his heart, or what was he? I mean, they caught him though, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he playing around?
Oh yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Hey, religious men can do it too.
Oh, no, they all do.
Hey, if L. Ron Hubbard can do it, Jimmy Swaggart.
And he
can
did.
Do it.
I have sinned against you.
Who was it? I'll look that up.
Didn't
they catch his?
Was it Jessica Hahn?
Was it Jessica Hahn?
Or was that another one?
Who was Fawn Hall?
No,
that was Oliver North.
She's a
Might have been Jessica Hahn then.
Fawn Hall is a fine lady.
But don't
mix her up with this crook.
What are you talking about?
She's already mixed up with the other crook.
Jessica Hall, huh?
Hahn,
yeah. I remember. Wasn't she on Howard Stern? And she's...
Oh, she did a lot of things after she became famous.
Maybe it was Jessica Hahn.
She and Sam Kinison were big friends.
Now, who was the one with on Monkey Business with our buddy...
That was Donna Rice.
Donna Rice, yeah. Jessica Hahn. Yeah, she's on Howard Stern. I know that.
Was she Jimmy Swaggart?
No, Jim Baker.
Jim Baker.
Oh, yeah. These guys...
I know.
Still looks pretty good.
What a gambit they all ran.
Yeah, I love it.
Mike Love, born in 1941.
Don't know him.
Beach Boys.
Okay. Well, I like the Beach Boys.
David Cronenberg in 43.
He's okay.
Sly Stone on the very same date, March 15th, 43. Dee Snider, know him?
No.
Twisted Sister fame.
Okay.
1955. Brett Michaels, you know him?
He's not the one that... Is he one of the Michaels? Which one fell out of the sky and killed himself?
Not him.
Yeah. Was it one of the Michaels?
No.
Who was it?
This is the lead singer.
Heart.
Poison.
Wasn't it one of the Hearts?
That's a wrestler.
Yeah.
We're talking about
there's a wrestler named Michaels.
We're talking about a glam metal rock hair band versus a wrestler.
Okay. What's the difference?
Quite a bit.
All right.
One sings and plays guitar. The other grapples with men in tights. Will.i.am, born in 1975.
Never heard of him?
No.
Black
Eyed Peas?
Oh, I've heard of them.
Okay. 1975.
Isn't that Fergie?
Yeah, that's Fergie.
Okay. All right. That I knew.
And 1975, Eva Longoria. Not too
a modic,
shabby.
Modicum of allure. Yeah.
Not too shabby. Who else we got
not
here?
Real ugly. Okay.
All right, 1943.
Oh, wait a minute. I got one.
You got a birthday?
1904, George Brent.
Yeah, I
one
did
of my
see,
favorite actors.
I George, did see George Brent's
George
name on this.
Brendan Nolan. Appeared. He's got the record. 13 films with Betty Davis. And he was married to Ann Sheridan, who was the oomph girl. Who don't call her that. She hated it. This guy's great. Warner Brothers contract actor. Unfortunately, you know, he didn't age real well. The last time he saw Betty Davis, she even recognized him. He looked bad.
Oh.
But they had an affair.
Are you watching Feud yet?
Oh, I want to see that. No, damn it.
Okay,
what's that on?
FX.
Okay. I want to see that. He actually tested for Captain Blood after Robert Donat turned it down. They're going to give it to George Brent, but then Errol Flynn came along.
Yeah, that'll do you.
Made him. But I like George Brent. In fact, he's best in – he was actually – he played – who was the guy that was a head of OSS? Donovan, Wild Bill Donovan.
Wild Bill Donovan.
He played him in Fighting 69.
By the way, again, there are lots of good reads on Wild Bill Donovan. Yeah. And the formation of the OSS, predecessor to the CIA.
Right.
And, boy,
okay.
Good reads.
Well, he played him.
Go find a book on Wild Bill Donovan, folks. You will not
just
be disappointed.
Just go watch the Fighting 69th.
You could do that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of the Irish Mafia, too, I guess, because he hung out with Pat, James Cagney, mm-hmm. Pat O'Brien, Spencer Tracy. Those guys all went out and got drunk on their asses. Now, Errol Flynn was not Irish. He was Tasmanian, but he still got drunk a lot.
Yeah, but was he Irish via Tasmania?
Well, they claimed he was Irish, the Warner. Warner Brothers has this whole, because he had such a horrible past. I mean, he wasn't a real nice guy. And they made, he was on the Olympic boxing team, and he was Irish. Yeah. And so they made up this whole, which they tended to do.
Well, no one knows where Tasmania is until Warner Brothers makes it popular.
Hobart is the capital.
Hobart is the capital.
And the Bass Strait
separates Australia from Tasmania.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what separates Australia from New Guinea?
Straits of Magellan?
The Torres Strait.
The Torres Straits.
Okay, there you go.
All right, 1943, the third battle of Kharkov.
Yeah, there were three of them.
For you war historians.
Well, that's actually another one, because the Germans won this one. They were 2-1 going into the fourth, and then they lost.
And they lost, and they didn't
got knocked out.
They didn't need a fifth. The game was over after number four. But this is number three on March the 15th, 43. The outcome in the East is still in doubt, and the Germans...
Yeah, it's not looking good.
They keep it in doubt by retaking Kharkov from the Soviets.
I think it was von Manstein pulled this one
off. This is hardcore tank and then street fighting.
Yeah.
This is the urban warfare.
Well, they're still reeling from Stalingrad at this point, but they hadn't gotten to Kursk yet, which really...
And then if you want to play a tank battle...
Kursk.
Go get any of the Kursk recreation games where you can command a tank unit.
We'll get to that battle in June. That's when it was fought.
And then I move forward to 1956, Armand. 1956.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays
mainly that's Julie Andrews.
In the plain.
She didn't get the part, though.
No, she didn't.
I think she's got it.
She was pissed.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Lerner and Lowe.
By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it.
That's about as much singing as you can get out of Rex Harrison.
Where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
That's all I can take. Anyway,
I like Stanley Holloway better.
Do you?
Get me to the church on time. Yeah. He's the only one that sang, actually.
That's good.
The top
That's
four.
Good. Do that again. That was good.
Well, I got a good voice, but better than Rex Harrison. He can't sing. There's an interesting thing about Rex Harrison when he did the movie.
Now, here, I got to say, the play debuts. Now, playing a clip from the movie, which is 8 years later, 1964. But in 56.
Oh, really? Then that was Marnie Nixon.
At the Mark Hellinger Theater. Right. My Fair Lady debuts.
Right, okay. But let's go to the movie, which won George Cukor his only Oscar.
C-U-K-O-R. Cukor.
Cukor, yeah. Everybody's favorite gay party thrower in L.A. Julie Andrews, she did the Broadway with Rex Harrison. She was supposed to get the part. Well, Jack Warner says, no, she's not big enough for this part. So they gave it to Audrey Hepburn, who was also too old. She's 35 playing a 19-year-old.
And she looks old.
And Audrey admitted she wasn't. But she only took it because she says, okay, well, I get to show off my great singing voice. Then they dubbed her, and she was really pissed. And then Julie Andrews got her revenge because she
Sound
won the Academy.
Music.
Well, she won the Academy Award for Mary Poppins that year.
And she got Sound of Music as well.
Well, yeah, but she already had that if she wanted it. But
she did fine.
Anyway, Rex Harrison couldn't sing, so they came to a
kind of obvious.
Just kind of talk your,
And where's that?
Yeah, that's how he sings.
In Spain, in Spain.
Well, he's actually singing a little bit there.
They didn't overdub him.
Well, they did. But here's the thing. They did not overdub him, you're right.
Yeah, he's sing-talking.
Because he had a microphone in his tie.
Let me see. Yeah, he's got a little bow tie on.
Yeah, he's got a microphone in there. In fact, one of the first wireless microphones. And it tended to pick up police broadcasts, but otherwise awesome. It was okay. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
So anyway, but that he was not synced because everybody else is, they synced them regardless.
Okay.
Even though she was dubbed by Marnie Nixon, which she was pissed her off. 10% she did sing a few lines herself, but Marnie Nixon did it. Anyway, so the problem is he looks right because his lips are not synced. Everybody else looks synced and they're just a little off.
Yeah.
So in post-production, they actually put him off a little bit on the track. So he looks like he's not synced.
Oh, that's a great tidbit.
Yeah.
So they actually screwed his.
Right. Even though he was not synced, they kind of messed up his lips a little bit to make it look like everybody else is not, you know? Which is weird, but
and then he wins
the Academy Award. He goes to my two. He dedicated it to his two leading ladies, Julie Andrews.
Well, that was
and
nice
Audrey.
Of him.
Well, see, at first he thought Audrey Hepburn didn't belong in the movie because he says something to the effect that, you know, this we're taking a flower girl, and who's never been in a ballroom in her life, and Audrey Hepburn looks like she's never been out of a ballroom in her life. But then
Audrey
Hepburn
looked like she was born.
She's born to royalty. Or
looked like
right?
she was born in Versace.
Yeah, it's hard to make her look like a street urchin.
Like if I would see a picture of Audrey Hepburn as a child, I would just assume there was a tiara on her and white gloves.
Yeah, she was born and having breakfast at Tiffany's, etc. Right. But anyway, he grew to like her. Then, and then at the end, I asked him, "Who was your favorite leading lady?" Audrey Hepburn.
Mm.
So Rex kind of fell for her.
Well, the 1965 LBJ. He has to respond to the crisis that's going on down in Selma, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
And he tells U.S. Congress, "We shall overcome."
Yeah.
While he advocated for the
Voting
Rights Act.
I don't know what he's overcoming. Yeah. Okay.
Well, injustice, racism.
I think he kind of wanted to overcome the Voting Rights Act is what he wanted. Yeah.
1985.
He was a big racist.
LBJ?
Oh, you kidding. Some of the things he said, he's from Texas, remember?
Oh, I know.
Okay.
He went to Texas State, by the way.
Well, it wasn't called that. I think it was like Texas,
it was like Texas Teachers
Teacher yeah,
School
right.
at that time.
I don't know what it was called then, yeah.
But normally you're...
He was a very crass man.
Normally your big wigs in Texas came out of two places. Neither of them were the Teachers College of Texas.
Well, if you want to, yeah.
Or I think, you know what, it might have been a normal school, like the normal school of Texas. Let me look that up.
Yeah, well, anyway, a few things about Lyndon LBJ. He'll show you a scar anytime you want to see it. And just tended to break wind at state dinners. We had to kind of curb him of that. That it's a nasty habit of his. And he and John F. Kennedy hated each other, by the way.
Did, yeah. Yeah, so, which is, you know, they rarely talked. Knew they hated each other, right? It's not a secret.
Yeah.
You ever hear the phone call of LBJ to Rose Kennedy on the day of the assassination?
No.
And Rose is saying, well, you know, he loved you, Lyndon. And
he wasn't that stupid.
Well, neither was Rose.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
I mean,
I thought she was getting senile
But to have to say that on the day that your son dies to the guy, that's a hard deal. 1985, first internet domain name is registered. Symbolics.com. 1985.
Wow.
19-
that's foresight.
That is. That is 32 years ago.
That's
wow.
Correct.
Mikhail Gorbachev elected on this date in 1990 as the first president.
And only
president of the
Soviet
Union.
They don't have presidents anymore.
No, they do not.
He was president until they tried to oust him. The Gang of Eight tried to oust him.
That didn't go very well.
August of 91. Yeah.
Rolled the tanks into a red square.
But just to show you how great it was, those guys, most of them got scot-free, except the one guy committed suicide.
Yeah.
But most of them, they just let
him
go.
Well, I think he was either encouraged or someone committed suicide.
But who was the only vice president? That's the tough question.
Boy, oh boy. Well, it wasn't Yeltsin.
And he was one of the Gang of Eight. You probably never heard of him.
You drop it on me. Let's see.
Gennady Yanayev.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. He was one of the Gang of Eight, actually.
All right.
But he lived.
In 1991, the final settlement in the treaty on the final settlement with respect to Germany. This is the reunification granting full sovereignty to the Federal Republic of Germany, reunified back together once again.
And that's why they win the World Cup.
Third time's a charm. Imagine. Yeah, they may have won. Well, hold on. Michael Ballack. Now, he was an East German that was influential in their win in...
they didn't win.
No, he was good on the teams.
They got the runner-up, I think, in
2006, 2020.
Was it in Germany? 2002? No,
yeah,
2014, right?
they mopped the floor with everyone in Brazil. That was a sensational
team. Well, that was a 7-0 game, right?
Sensational team. Wow. Oh, what a team that was.
That was embarrassing.
For everybody who wasn't German, yes. Hugely embarrassing. Whew.
Boy, that was a beating, boy. 5-0 at half. I remember that.
Yeah. All right. Who died on this date?
Well, yep. A couple of biggies.
We got Julius Caesar, of course.
Someone.
1937, we got H.P. Lovecraft. Woo, yeah. There's an interesting fella. Surreal
Howard
Talk.
Howard Phillips. I've got him on my Kindle.
Surreal Talk ought to do a show on this
gent. You know, he, Cthulhu, this guy really did have, he's a horror writer, and I don't remember, I didn't write down who said this, but the only real horror in most of this fiction is the horror of bad taste and bad art. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but when he is bad, he's pretty bad. But he's got some pretty good stories. I've read most of them. Kind of scary.
Yeah.
But he's not a right. I don't know what you would call him, a gothic horror movie, but a horror
he's
writer.
Up there.
Have you read any of his stuff? It's
no.
Hard to, it's hard to classify.
Uh-uh.
Well, do so.
I shan't.
Why not?
I don't
what,
feel
are you
like
scary,
it.
Is he?
I don't feel like it.
Come on, don't be.
If
a
I'm going to read something scary, I'm going to read. I don't know, Stephen King or something.
I think he's. I don't know. I like him better. He's shorter than Stephen King.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
2007, Bowie Kuhn passed away. He was commissioner
him,
of baseball
yeah.
for a long time. There's a great, there's a book called The Lords of the Game.
I assume the game being baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Something ugh, about a kid don't play baseball.
Remember that? Foghorn? That little, what was that little bird's name that he was taking around?
Henry Hawk.
No, not Henry Hawk. The one with the something junior, the brain one.
Oh, I think it was just Junior. I say, boy.
Yeah.
It's something, yuck, my boy don't play baseball.
Yeah, the book is The Lords of the Realm, The Real History of Baseball by John Hellyer, H-E-L-Y-A-R. You would like this book, Armand, because it really gets into the politics that are behind it, and it discloses a phone call between an Anheuser-Busch executive and Bowie Kuhn. And Bowie says something negative about August Bush Jr. on the phone call. The next thing he knows, there's a whole bunch of screaming and yelling on the phone. It's because August Bush Jr. is listening in on the phone call.
Oh.
And subsequently, Bowie Kuhn will be out of a job shortly thereafter.
Yeah, that's what happens. Do you have that book? You can lend it to me.
Lords of the Realm. I owe you four books now.
Yeah, you haven't paid me off any of them.
I know. I'm a deadbeat. And finally, my last one for the day in the deaths, one of my favorite actors, and he died in 2009. Boy, this is a good...
I don't think you'd like his politics.
Huh? Oh, don't mind. But here's my favorite role.
Okay, two big problems. The case against him is very strong. And probably more important, the legal conviction isn't the only conviction that we got to reverse. The more dangerous conviction is the absolute certainty of the American people that Klaus is guilty. Finding grounds for reversal won't be enough here.
Reversal of fortune?
Ron Silver.
Ron Silver, yeah.
There were some fantastic scenes between he and Jeremy Irons in that movie.
Yeah, but Irons got the Academy Award.
Irons got the Academy Award. And I think based on maybe just one or two lines, because he was good, but the line where Silver looks at him and goes, "You're a very unusual man." And Irons as Von Bülow, you remember what he replies?
I don't remember.
"You have no idea."
Oh. Well, that'll win you Academy Awards, yeah. Either that or play an alcoholic or someone that's... Well,
but that's Silver playing Alan Dershowitz from his Harvard days as he took the appeal case of Klaus von Bülow
the attempted murder.
Attempted
of
murder of Sonny von Bülow. And one of the biggest disappointments, because I loved the movie Reversal of Fortune.
The biggest disappointment was he didn't murder?
No. Sonny never woke up.
What do you mean she never woke up?
She never woke up from the
diabetic coma?
Okay, she never woke up.
They put insulin or something.
And she passed away a few years ago.
Okay.
Because I always thought, what a day. When Sonny wakes.
Never got to see the movie.
No, she didn't. When Sonny von Bülow wakes up, that's going to be some news. And never happened.
That wasn't a big deal till Dershowitz. I guess that made his reputation. You know, I don't know.
And I don't know. I mean, guy's working for Getty Oil, and he's accused of offing his wife. Kind of a big deal.
Okay. Well.
Had a good name too, Klaus von Bülow.
That's a good name. Yeah, I got to hand him that one. That's an assassin's name, like François Ravaillac, who killed Henry of Navarre. Remember?
No.
We just did that show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I forget. I wipe him out.
Hey, stabbed him good, boy.
Oh, good.
All right. I wonder how many times. I think he only stabbed him once. Or no, wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe did he throw a bomb at him? I don't remember. No, that Nicholas. Let's see. Who got the bomb tossed? Oh, Alexander II got the bomb tossed and blew his legs off.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. They blowed him up.
Yeah, they did.
All right. Now, I got
sort of good.
I've got a death today. 1962.
Okay, hold on. March 15th, 1962.
You're not going to know him. He's a scientist, a physicist.
Oh, because he's a scientist,
right.
I'm not going to know
him. Of course not, because you always give them short shrift. Economists and scientists. Now, if he was a Liverpudlian soccer player or some mop-headed rapper, sure, we would revere him. But Arthur Holly Compton, the Compton Effect. Have you ever heard of the Compton Effect?
I've heard of Compton Heights.
Nope. Also Chancellor of Washington University.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. And he also set up Chicago One pile under Stagg Field.
Oh.
He was working with Fermi.
Wow. Yep. He's on the Fermi team.
Yeah, he was
that's
also on Manhattan Project.
Yeah. Arthur?
Holly Compton.
Well, that's it's hard to have a more English name than that.
Won the Academy of Nobel Prize for Physics 1927 for the Compton Effect. Well, what is the Compton Effect, you ask? Well, apparently, scattering of a photon by a charged particle. Therefore, less energy in the photon, increasing the wavelength.
So what you're saying is the particle...
Like an electron, a charged particle.
And it shoots out of the photon.
If it runs into the photon.
Okay.
And by apparently conservation of energy, the photon loses its energy. Now, somehow...
So what you're saying is it goes straight out of Compton.
Get out of here. All right. You've been dismissed. You will say nothing the rest of the show. All right. So, the man's a chancellor of Washington University, and you... Okay.
Well, I didn't know that's where NWA got it from.
You make sport of him.
He's
song, not the butt of your joke.
I thought
okay?
the song was about something else. Turns out the song's about
if
nuclear physics.
If it wasn't for
physics.
This guy, you know, there could have been a tragedy of no Hiroshima. Okay, so just think about that.
I know.
This guy,
we could have sent a million men onto the beaches of Japan. It would have been brutal.
No, we could have just starved them to death.
Or you could have done that as well, and 100 million Japanese would have died. Either way, a whole bunch of people are dying,
yes,
which is
correct.
Not good.
Yeah, because of the Federal Reserve. Anyway, but basically what this says somewhat is that it is not, light is not purely a wave, which we discussed before.
Yes, dovetails nicely, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes. See, I segue, so mm-hmm. You just give random facts.
Oh, I'm blunt trauma, baby.
Yeah, you are. Give me a blunt instrument, somebody. Was that movie? I'm a blunt instrument. I think that was a P.G. Woodhouse. I was reading him. Anyway, that Arthur Holly Compton died in 1962, won the Nobel Prize in 1927, worked at Oak Ridge and Hanford.
Oh, wow. By the way, my neighbor, and I think I can say this publicly, he's doing a lot of, he's a contractor.
Minute. Don't give away any state secrets.
It's not a state secret. He's just doing a lot of work.
Who are you, Julian Assange?
No, I don't, there ain't no leak okay. here. But he's doing a lot of work at Oak Ridge, you know. And
see, keep your mouth shut.
Well, it's just, it's
highly
just,
classified.
It's construction work. It's not classified.
They didn't even acknowledge there was an Oak Ridge, I don't think.
Well, not for a long time.
Or Hanford or anything.
Right. Those poor people around Nickajack Lake and everything, because it's such a beautiful area.
You know what the nicest...
How do you think they reacted when they learned, oh, my God.
With pride. Better than TVA, I'll tell you that. I'd rather have Oak Ridge.
Better than the Tennessee Valley Authority?
Yeah, I'd rather have Oak Ridge than TVA. But anyway, what I like is these cryptic names for, like, ours is a Manhattan Project. With the British, it was Tube Alloys. And the Germans had a great one, the Pest House.
Oh, I like that.
Well, yeah, that keeps people away.
Yeah,
that's a good idea, you know.
That's not bad.
So that's they all had their little euphemism
I wonder how they came up with code
bomb names. Project.
You know, because I was like, is there a Rolodex they flip through and like?
I don't know, interesting.
This
names.
Is Operation Mongoose.
Which, if you want to read up, the one is what the one by Rhodes, which I read in college. Was it the making of the atom bomb? Richard Rhodes, the definitive. History of the Manhattan Project.
The real Oppenheimer and
everybody. Leslie R. Groves and everybody else.
The gang at Los Alamos.
Ewell Compton's in there.
Yeah.
Vannevar Bush, all those guys. And our favorite spy, Klaus Fuchs.
Fuchs.
May he die a thousand deaths.
Well, just pronounce his name a different way and you get the idea.
Yes. We don't like him.
How the hell do you let a spy into Los Alamos? You're in Los Alamos!
Well, we didn't know he's a communist. They were too busy checking out Oppenheimer's girlfriend, who was also a communist, watching him get laid, which is a lot more fun.
Think of the man hours they wasted.
Watching people watching porn is not a waste of mana.
You're in Los Alamos. I mean, you got to find something to do.
If you're a man, you've got hours
weighing on you. You got to find something to do.
I'm going to get laid tonight. I already rented the hotel room.
All right. Good
so
luck.
How's that?
All right.
So 446.
Oh, beware.
Could be. The Ides of March, baby.
Armand's date. Beware the Ides of March.
Hey, remember.
You're going to get your brains ided out.
Which reminds me. I don't remember who it was. One of the booths. I don't recall. But one woman was building him up, what a great Caesar he was, you know, before he's getting laid. He goes, I come here not to praise Caesar, but to bury him. His dick. Apparently, she's talking. I don't know how it was, but the implication being it's his dick.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's good. Yes. All right. Well, good luck to you,
that's
sir.
That's correct.
That'll be 440.
446, I hope.
All right.
Knock on wood.
All right. Well, again, the cake at 500.
I hope I don't have to buy her dinner.
Jesus, what a.
I'm paying for the hotel.
Cheapskate. Lord, give me the power and mercy to help this poor soul.
No, it's
God sake.
The things I can change, the things
thing.
I can't.
Do the honorable thing. Okay? A nice steak dinner.
Oh, come
and a salad.
On.
Okay?
Let's see how she performs.
No filet of fish.
I think this hotel gives you a free continental breakfast. Oh, I have to worry about that.
Oh, God.
All right. 50 minutes.
At least,
time to cut
at least
off.
Bring it to the room. All right, Armand.
Better than your corny jokes.
March 15th in the books. That'll do it. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com, This Day in History Podcast, and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet will do. For Armand Kachigian, and I'm Tony Hubert. Enjoy the rest of your Ides of March. And when March 16th rolls around, we'll be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.